If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
I'm exhausted just watching the people out of the window. Because if you ride your bike from the north end of Lakeshore Drive, which would be Hollywood, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you ride it to the south end of Lakeshore Drive, which would be what, maybe?
Down to 57th Street.
Something like that, 57th or so. How far is that? 10 miles?
Not far from that. I'd say 7 to 10 miles, yeah.
Something like that. That's a good, well, and then you got to come back, right?
It's true.
Yeah, unless you want to just stay down there, go to the Museum of Science and Industry.
Take a cab.
Taxi. Uber.
See, now you could have followed this song up with Lakeshore Drive, and we would have had them both together.
Back-to-back hits.
Maybe we have that planned for later.
Darn it. I can't believe I would blow that again.
You're spoiling everything.
I thought this was not that
I play these exact songs every year for the last 20 years, but
I thought this was still rehearsal. Sorry.
This has a little bit of new relevance now because of the
Queen movie,
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm.
Queen movie. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know who did the bike to drive this morning? Sunday morning producer Ariel Halpern did the. He rode his bicycle.
Nice.
Wait.
Ice cream.
That's what it sounds like. That's what it reminds me of.
That puts us all in good humor. Get it?
So, Ariel, how was it this morning? You got on the bike to drive.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't know what was going on, and I normally like to bike into work, and I was normally going to go to the boardwalk, you know, along the water, and I was like, oh, the freeway's open for this. So I just biked on.
You snuck on.
I snuck on. And then as I'm riding, you know, everyone else is pretty serious about it. They got their helmets and those skin-tight outfits, and I'm wearing, you know, slacks and a T-shirt.
Normal clothes.
Yeah. And I only have a helmet.
By the way, I'm wearing those skin-tight outfits, by the way, for no particular reason. I just thought Lycra would be a good look on me today. It's hard to find it in my size, by the way. It's no easy task. So everyone's in their serious bikers gear.
Yeah, and I'm definitely an anomaly. I mean, I assume because I was in the early morning crowd, the serious guys. I'm sure the families come later. But, yeah, people are pretty serious. You know, the guys who go, on your left, on your right.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, those are professionals.
Yeah.
You do not do that when you're riding your bike?
I'm not fast enough to say that. I just stopped.
You've already hit somebody.
Have a water break.
You've already pushed somebody aside before you think of to say on your left. Is it people say that it's kind of meditative, that it's cool because there's no vehicular noise on Lakeshore Drive?
Yeah, it was very.
Is it cool?
Yeah, it was very calming. Also, it was dreary. It looks like it's going to rain.
Right.
And you have the skyline, which is beautiful coming in. It wasn't cloudy, so. Or foggy, so you could see everything. It was definitely like a wonderful therapy session.
Oh, good. So it was nice. Now, we say that you snuck on because you have to be officially part of this,
right.
You're supposed to register ahead of
time. I didn't know that. And so as
pay a fee. You're a regular. You ride your bike as often as you can.
Yeah, I'm a divvy regular. I think I'm in like the 78th percentile of divvy riders.
Oh, you do a divvy also?
Yeah, I only do divvy.
Oh, you only do divvy?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But you do it all the time. You're not these bikers come lately.
I am not. And that's why it's surprising I don't have that skin-tight outfit. I guess I need a sponsor.
Okay, well, let's see if we can get you one.
Okay.
Let's put the word out. Ariel rides his bike all the time here on Sunday morning. Do you even do it in the cold weather?
I did do it in the cold weather.
Wow.
So I'll need a sponsored winter jacket then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's get you know, any of our fine sponsors, you know, we have a lot of fine probiotic sponsors on WGN. I would love to see a logo for them or something like that. Don't we have some diarrhea medicine or something also? Some of these commercials that you hear, I would love to see their insignia and their logo on your back.
Yeah.
While you're riding your bike in. I'm pretty sure we do. So anyway, if you're interested, you can just call us. Ariel will be the one answering the phone. 773-981-7200 is our phone number. For that or anything else that we may be able to help you with this morning. So Dave Ennett, Andy's boss, is actually, he's doing the ride for real. And we're going to check in with him and see how he's going.
The ride for real.
With Dave Ennett.
I think it would be just kind of cool to, you know, to kind of jump on the point there. Just to be able to ride a bike on Lakeshore Drive would be pretty interesting.
I guess.
I think it'd be pretty cool. Not that I intend to do it, but, you know.
Yeah, everybody seems to love it. They do it. They say that it's, you know, it's an experience like you'll never get, except once a year when they do this all the time. I guess this is the 18th year that this has gone on now, and people say that they absolutely love it. So we'll find out if that's the case. It's the officially, it's the third Bike the Drive. And Dave Ennett is in on it, and we'll check in with him in just a minute. Excuse me, pardon me. I've got a little hiccup action going on here today. What was I going to say? Oh, Elton John, the red carpet from London this week. We're going to share some of those interviews from the red carpet coming up a little bit later on this morning. We've got a lot of good stuff all coming up for you next on WGN.
Today is the day we put aside to remember fallen heroes.
Sending our fellow citizens into battle is only half the battle. Part of our commitment is to make sure that those who make the ultimate sacrifice are honored and remembered.
It's a day of thanks for the valor of others.
I'm Amy Guth, and this Monday morning, I'm joined by Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor and a lineup of very special guests. We'll talk the history of Memorial Day, what it means to us, and how we can honor it best.
WGN Radio honors Memorial Day stories. Tomorrow morning at 9. Proudly brought to you by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors. Memorial Day. What has it come to mean to us as a nation? Hear real stories from the families of fallen soldiers and veterans. A heartfelt presentation honoring those who've made the sacrifice. Tune in as WGN Radio honors Memorial Day stories this Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Sponsored by the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and Union Contractors.
There's an amazing supper club in Wisconsin Dells, Ish Nala. Nestled among the pines and perched above the sandstone bluffs of Mirror Lake. The beauty, the history, the service, the food, the fun. Hi, this is Bob Prosser, owner of Ish Nala Supper Club in Wisconsin Dells. I have been a part of Ish Nala for 30 years, and I am so proud to continue the tradition that began in 1953. Why not enjoy a brandy old-fashioned in one of our bars, each with a spectacular view overlooking Mirror Lake, or just relax before or after dinner on one of our outdoor decks? Our Ish Nala chefs have prepared your favorites. 24-ounce ribeye, cold water lobster tails, North Atlantic salmon, and of course, Ish Nala's roast duck. Thank you for making Ish Nala Wisconsin's favorite supper club, where the only thing we overlook is Mirror Lake. I'm Bob Prosser, and I want to serve you.
At University of Chicago Medicine, we're advancing the forefront of health every day, making innovative care available closer to where you live, giving you access to physicians who work on the leading edge of their field, and to the kind of research that's changing lives. Our breakthroughs not only change medicine, they inform every interaction with every patient, every time you visit. Experience the forefront at uchicagomedicine.org.
That old car is worth money. Visit victoryautorecords.com for an instant quote. Victory will tow no matter what condition your car's in. Victory buys vehicles every day, including nights and weekends, and you'll get cash on the spot. Go to victoryautorecords.com for more information or save money by fixing up your car with used parts. Go to victoryautorecords.com to search their inventory. victoryautorecords.com.
VictoryAutoRecords.com.
The Memorial Day sales event is going on now at American Sail. Save up to 50% on the largest selection of swimming pools, patio sets, and more. Everything for your outdoor summer fun. Pay no interest for 4 years. American Sail has the area's largest selection of patio furniture in stock and ready for free delivery. See store for details. Hurry, though. This Memorial Day sales event ends soon. American Sales has 9 Chicago locations. Visit americansale.com. American Sale, bring home the fun. This week on Chicago's Best, the CB team is planning your midday meals from Monday meatloaf to Friday fish and fry. Chicago's Best lunch deals tonight at 10 on WGN-TV. Here on WGN Radio, we focus on Bike the Drive. The 5th-3rd Bike the Drive, kicking off summertime, the 18th year of car-free bike riding on the one and only Lakeshore Drive. Joining us actually on the drive at this moment is WGN Sports Director Dave Ennett, Andy's boss. Where are you, Dave?
I'm at Irving Park Road on the drive right now, Dean, and let's see. I set sail about 7:15 this morning from 303 East Wacker, and it's just been a great morning. I was a little nervous about the weather,
yep,
but it has been just perfect riding conditions for the 18th annual 5th-3rd Bike to Drive. It's been great.
So what's your plan now? Are you going to continue going north and then head all the way back down to Hyde Park?
Well, I started after leaving the WGN Radio Tower. I went to Columbus and Jackson, met up with some friends there. We went south, made the turnaround at Science and Industry, and then we're making our way north and going to go as far north as, I think, to Bryn Mawr. I think that's where we're going to probably turn around and head back to Grant Park. But go ahead.
Well, how would you describe this feeling of, everyone talks about how it's almost meditative to be on the drive without cars.
Well, it is. It's the second time I've done it, and I think that's what struck me when I did it a couple of years ago, that you get this rare glimpse of our city and the magnificent lakefront and the beautiful skyline that you just don't get every day when you're flying along at 40, 45 miles an hour in a car on Lakeshore Drive. It's totally different, and it's quieter. That's one thing you notice. It's a little more peaceful, and there's a sense of camaraderie. Now, you do have the wannabe Lance Armstrongs out here trying to win the Tour de France, but you also have the majority, I think, are out for a more leisurely Sunday ride on the drive, and it's just people are considerate. It's just like driving the Kennedy at rush hour, Dean. Everybody's looking out for the other motorists.
Oh wow, I don't know which Kennedy you're talking about, but
but it's great. And there's the big festival going on, the Post Ride Festival, which anyone can go to.
Right, that's at Butler Field, Park. I think, right.
Yes, and that's open until noon, and we have both the WGN TV and WGN radio booth out there, so you might want to stop by if you're in the area, and there's all kinds of snacks. And,
yeah, are you going to be there when you finish the? Are you going to stop by the booth and maybe people can come and pat you down with the towel and take home some Dave Ennett sweat, some Dave Ennett DNA.
I don't know that they would necessarily want that, but sure, I'm going to stop by there and check in and enjoy. Let's see, I'm on, I think, my second banana of the morning. So I might, you know, and a little more potassium might not be a bad idea.
Yeah, you're probably going to have to stop and, you know, rehydrate yourself. Tell me, how do you dress for this? Because our producer, Ariel, was on the drive earlier today, and he was talking about a lot of people in the Lycra, you know, like the serious biker clothes and gear. Please don't put that visual in my mind for you.
Well, you know, Dean, that I wear the Lycra every day to the station.
That's true.
I thought for this I would do something a little bit different. So when the last time we did this, my wife bought me a pair of biking shorts. They're not Lycra, but they've got like the padding, extra padding on them.
Yes, in all the right places, right, yes.
Yes, exactly. So I'm wearing those. And I brought a couple of layers. I haven't even needed to break those out. I've just been in a T-shirt and shorts and biking shoes. I do have a pair of biking shoes.
Now, what are biking shoes? If you're on the bike and pedaling, why do you need special shoes for that?
Well, you don't really. This was just sort of a luxury. They're just very lightweight shoes. I don't know. Anyone know how you would describe bike shoes? Sturdy soles, I'm told.
Sturdy soles. Okay.
Sturdy soles. So,
Andy,
I know we're all sturdy souls.
Right.
So. I was going to say that's what it takes to drive this to ride this thing is to be a sturdy soul.
Andy, do you have any sports questions for Dave?
I was just curious if there's any activity at Soldier Field, anything going on OTA wise while you went by there.
Not that I saw. I don't know if they were marching the rookies through there again like they did a few days ago, but you know, everybody kind of paused and saluted the Bears as they went by, as apropos. So,
and let's be honest, Dave is pretty much in this just to slowly go down Lakeshore Drive and look in people's windows. He's not really paying very much attention to.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's hard to bike when you're holding binoculars.
When he said that you notice things that you don't normally see when you're driving a car, that's what he meant. Mm-hmm. He's looking at people's windows. Yeah,
exactly right. But we want to thank the people at Fifth Third Bank and the Active Transportation Alliance, which, you know, is really trying to build a better Chicago in terms of promoting the use of biking and making it more accessible. And you really get a sense of that when you see how much more access there is now, even from where we are at 303 East Wacker, much more easy access to the lakefront, path, to the Riverwalk right across the street from us, which now connects with the lakefront path. So,
well, and the Active Transportation Alliance is the beneficiary of the Fifth Third Bike the Drive. So, you know, whatever fees you pay to be part of this, that goes to Active Transportation Alliance, which is a nonprofit organization. And, you know, not only access to lakefront paths and so forth, but really all over the city, you know, bicycle access is at an all-time high right now. So they've got their work cut out for them, making it safe for people who are biking and walking and interacting with cars every single day.
And I'll tell you, they do a great job with this event because safety is the primary concern, and you do feel safe out here. They have a ton of volunteers, whether it's helping with hydration or nourishment, nutrition, or just checking wristbands as you ride by, directing traffic, because this is a major production here. And in just a little while, they're going to start moving people off Lakeshore Drive so they can get the cars back on, I think, at 10:30. So it's really a great event. And if you didn't get a chance to do it this year, then sign up and join us out here next year, the Sunday Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, you can actually sign up now for next year if you're totally into that. I'm gonna see if we get somebody on our text line made a very good suggestion to see if we can get some sort of corporate sponsorship for our WGN radio riders. And if this happens, I would participate next year. If we get Preparation H as a corporate sponsor on this. I'm in.
Andy,
for that.
You work on that, will you?
Yeah, I'm going to get busy on that as soon as we're done here.
Count me in if we get that. All right, Dave, have fun out there. And we'll see you tomorrow morning on the Steve Cochran Show.
All right, Dino, thanks. See you, Andy.
Take care, Dave. There's Dave Ennett, WGN sports director, with us. A quick break, and we'll update news next on WGN. 312-981-7200. I'm interested in hearing some of your family stories. If you have family members, friends, acquaintances, people who made the ultimate sacrifice, and the people for which we celebrate Memorial Day. It's nice to have an extra day off. It's nice to have a barbecue. It's nice to, you know, have all the things that we get a long weekend for. But the real reason for Memorial Day is to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Love to hear some of your stories. 312-981-7200. And I believe we have Dave on the line. Hi, you're on WGN.
Yes, good morning. I spoke to your producer earlier. Just so I wanted to say thanks to my family, even if they can no longer hear me. My great-grandfather, background and all that genealogy, found out he was at Gettysburg, volunteered when it was called Sheboygan Heights, which was a farm community, which is now the city of Sheboygan in Wisconsin. He went to Milwaukee to volunteer, wound up at Gettysburg wounded, and took 2 months to come back by wagon to get back to Wisconsin. And then my grandfather was World War One, wounded 3 times, put back in line, and then my son had 6 years in the Air Force, and he's now out.
Yeah. Where did your son serve?
My son was Air Force, and he had 2 tours in the Middle East.
In the Middle East. Okay. All right. Well, it's...
But he came back and using the GI Bill, got his master's, and he's going to do something else.
Yeah.
So.
Good. Well, those are fantastic stories, and must make you feel very proud that your family members, participated in, there's so much dissent in America right now. You know, here are people who are focused on defending what makes America great, and, why it's important that we maintain our democracy and, protect it. And these are people who are walking the walk, definitely.
Even if you volunteered or if you were drafted, whatever, but, I mean, over the generations and how the people that came back, I missed Vietnam by 1 year, how the returning veterans from that conflict or how they were treated, but now how we treat our veterans, but they're still, medically and benefits sure. and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate your call, Dave. Thank you very much. This is Joe. You are on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave. Every August 6th, I think about this when the stories come up in the news. I had an uncle, John Andrew, who was the only American killed in the bombing of Hiroshima.
Wow.
He was a photographer, and a photographer's plane towered in the Logay and took some aircraft caught fire. They got him. He's never mentioned that we lost someone in that bombing, but we did, and it was my uncle.
And what was his name again?
John Andrew.
John Andrew. All right. Well, we definitely salute him this morning and that horrible tragedy that took place there. I appreciate your call and remembering your family member this morning, Joe. Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. Thank you, and have a good weekend. We'll take a quick break. We'll update news coming up in a few minutes. Meteorologist Mike Hammernick also coming up right after the newscast to give us the forecast for this holiday weekend. It's all coming up for you next on WGN.
Shimmering, splendid. Tell me, princess, now when did you last let your heart decide? I can open your eyes.
From the original animated
take you wonder,
motion picture Aladdin.
Wonder,
classic song, A Whole New World.
Under, on a magic,
like, this is going to be a huge motion picture. By the way, they are projecting the box office numbers, saying that this movie could be in excess of $100 million for the holiday weekend, $109 million, what industry experts are predicting right now. could wind up being the sixth highest Memorial Day weekend debut of all time. I gave it a Dean's List B. I liked it very much. Everybody's been telling me, people that, you know, I get reactions to my reviews from Thursday and Friday, all weekend. People agree, disagree, you know, whatever. Everyone has been saying that they went and saw it, and they also loved it. Sounds like as much as I did, so I'm glad people are going to enjoy it. What's really surprised me is how some people dismissed this movie and trashed it without even seeing it. I can see, you know, you go see it and you don't like it. But to say that you don't like the movie and you've never even seen it, it's rampant. It's critics all over the country that have dismissed it and they're done with it. And did you see it? No. Doesn't make any sense to me. But it happens, I guess. What are you going to do? We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, meteorologist Mike Hamernick kind of give us the lowdown on what we can expect in the way of rain for today and tomorrow for the extended holiday weekend. That's all coming up next. Plus, later in the show today, my red carpet interviews from London, where I was last Sunday, doing interviews with the cast of the Elton John biopic Rocket Man. Also on the red carpet, we caught up with Bernie Taupin, who was depicted in the movie, of course, but to speak to one of the most prolific songwriters of all time on the red carpet was a real treat. We're going to share that with you coming up in just a little while as well. Oh, yeah, we're going to be grilling a little bit later on the Food Time show as well. We're also going to be giving away a Weber grill today on our Food Time show to get ready for the holiday weekend. So all of that and so much more, all next for you on WGN.
Is everything entertainment. Dean Richards, Sunday morning on News Talk 720 WGN.
Okay, thank you very much. Little flashback there at 10:21, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, as we head over to WGN television right now and check in with meteorologist. Is it Mike Hamernick with us today, or is it Morgan with us today? Or is it anybody today? Now that I think of it, I know Mike Hamernick actually, I was noticing on television earlier this morning, is off. And Morgan Kochmeyer was filling in. Yeah, let's check into that. Meanwhile, we can enjoy this delightful music. Feel free to dance wherever you are this morning. Yeah, we'll check into that and see what the story is on that. To find out what's going on with the holiday weekend weather. I believe Mike Hamernick, I noticed on television this morning, was not on. We'll see what the story is on that. I wanted to mention something, and Shwani is not... Oh, Shwani, you are back in your position here, because I wanted to ask you if you knew something about this.
Okay.
The Indiana Dunes State Park, where I imagine you spent quite a bit of time as a Ute, as I did.
I spent time there as a Ute, also at Warren Dunes State Park, just over the border in Michigan.
Also, mm-hmm. I did some time there. sounds like I was in jail when I say I did some time there.
I did some time.
But I spent a lot of time at Indiana Dunes in Chesterton, Indiana. We used to go camping there all the time as Boy Scouts, Troop 585. We used to go there all the time, had a great time there. But I just learned that they were just named a national park.
There's actually two parks there. Yes, that is true. You have the Indiana Dunes State Park, which is run by the state of Indiana, has been since the 1920s, and a beautiful pavilion there along the lake that they've been renovating. But adjacent to and around the state park property has been for 50 years the Indiana Dunes National Lake Shore, which has been administered by the National Park Service, and first of the year, this year, became a national park, a full-fledged national park.
Now, that's the state park or the
That's the National Lake Shore. Yeah, the state park will remain Indiana Dunes State Park. It has its separate entrance. And then the lake shore, actually, if you go along east and or west on US 12, You will pass through the lake, the Indiana Dunes lakeshore. There's 15,000 acres
right.
of the national lakeshore.
Well, that's what I was reading in an article in the Tribune about that, that last February, maybe this is what you're talking about, mm-hmm. toward the beginning of the year,
mm-hmm.
Was designated national park status.
Yep. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So you know, that's it's absolutely beautiful there. I mean, I haven't been there for quite a long time, but I have so many fond memories of the beauty, the untouched you know, beauty and wonder of that whole area. And as Boy Scouts, we used to go there all the time.
Did you go hiking through the trails
all
and everything?
The time.
Yeah, it
all
is great.
All the time.
It is great. Yeah,
all the time. Did tons of hiking. We did. All kinds of things. I still, I actually sustained kind of a serious injury there. It's not the dunes' fault. We were doing a community project. Our Boy Scout troop was doing a community project to clean out a creek. You know, people had thrown garbage in it, and you know, and all the Boy Scouts. We were all in the creek and getting rid of all the garbage that was there to try to bring it back to its beauty. Someone had thrown in a broken pop bottle.
Uh-oh.
And as a, you know, little Uncle Dean stepped on it.
Oh, you stepped on it?
I stepped on the broken bottle. And, you know, all of a sudden you see all this blood in the water.
Oh, wow.
And I had slashed my foot open.
Oh, wow.
And this little scrawny friend of mine, little skinny kid, carried me all the way back to the campsite because I couldn't walk. And they rushed me to the hospital.
I'm going to say
got that, stitches.
And, yeah, and certainly took every precaution to keep that from getting infected. They probably gave you a tetanus shot. A little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was quite the deal.
That could be quite serious.
I guess it was. But overwhelmingly wonderful, wonderful memories of so many of going on the beach there and hanging out at the beach. And learning about astronomy there. I mean, most of my camping experience came at Indiana Dunes State Park.
Yeah.
When I was in the Boy Scouts.
If I can, just real quickly here, tell an interesting story. President Kennedy first designated that area as a national lakeshore.
Really?
In the mid, just before his assassination, but that became official a couple years later. And that's when they also formed the Port of Indiana. That's an international port there. But there had been an effort to make that a national park for a number of years, and it finally took place. People have been working hard to preserve that area for almost a century, and since the formation of the park system in this country. So it was nice to see that come to fruition this year.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the article caught my eye, and it, you know, brought back a lot of memories for me. But I thought, you know, people are looking for something to do this weekend. There's all kinds of things to do in the city, all kinds of fests, and, you know, the outdoor street festival season has begun. But nothing like a drive out to the Indiana Dunes and just enjoying the day out there.
You can almost lose sight of the fact that you're in the Midwest.
That you are in the Midwest.
You know, it's like going to Starved Rock State Park, where you go in and see all the rock formations down there.
Yeah, it's pretty great. The headline in this Tribune article is "Hidden Gem No More: Indiana Dunes Ready for the Spotlight as the Country's Newest National Park," and it truly is a hidden gem in nearby Chesterton, Indiana. Very easy to get to. What would you say? 40 minutes. From the city? An hour?
On the toll road. There's construction on the toll road now.
Is
so
there? Okay.
I would say of 45, upwards of an hour. Yeah. An hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, either way, it's still pretty close and easily a very nice day trip. Shawnee, I don't know what happened to meteorologist Mike Hamernick or a sub. So
or Morgan. Morgan was on this
Morgan
morning.
Was on earlier this morning. Yeah, but I don't know what the deal is. So just give us our... can you give us our little forecast here for those who have been waiting for that?
I certainly can. Cloudy today.
No extra charge?
No extra charge. Okay. No, even though I wasn't invited to the beach party, you know, that's all right.
That still stands, by the way.
The cloudy today, the showers and thunderstorm threat. We've seen light rain off and on this morning, but evidently didn't make problems for the riders on Bike the Drive. But the showers and thunderstorm activity will be out of the way this afternoon. But cooler as a result, 60s around the city, a little warmer south of the city. Cloudy, overnight tonight, some scattered showers and storms redeveloping in the 50s. Could see some storms tomorrow, and some of those may be severe, but a little warmer with highs in the 70s. And looking ahead to the rest of the week, scattered showers and thunderstorms for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, but temperatures up in the 70s, so it's starting to feel seasonal. How's that?
That was great. Yeah, that was fantastic. I was just thinking about my many pleasant Boy Scout experiences at the Indiana Dunes State Park. Sitting around the campfire, singing songs.
Did you tell scary ghost stories?
We told scary ghost stories, you know, with the flashlight under our, like under our chin. Told scary ghost stories. What else? You know what I remember from the dunes? Have you ever had sarsaparilla tea? Do you know what that is?
I don't think so. No.
Sarsaparilla. No. It's a tree. Sarsaparilla is a tree, and you if you get it when it's very young, you take the roots and you boil the roots, and you can make the sarsaparilla tea. It tastes just like root beer.
Hmm.
We used to do that at.
You made it?
Yeah. Yeah, we would get the roots and boil them in water, and make some delicious tea that tasted like root beer.
That would sound good.
Yeah.
Nice summery beverage.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Learned to smoke cigarettes up there.
Oh, wonderful, wholesome attitude for young Americans.
Yep. Tarrytons. Idiot. Idiot kid.
Yeah, right.
Hey, look at us. Look at us. We're big shots.
Some kid said, yeah, you're a big shot. And you looked at him and said, us Tarryton smokers would rather fight than switch.
Dopey kids. Dopey. Be 12-year-old smoking cigarettes. Hey, we're big shots.
Oh. You come home all sick.
Smelling like you were at a bar.
Where have you been?
We'll take a break and update news next, WGN.
Let's make...
Welcome into the week in theater. What's going on stage in Chicago? That is the question. And among the answers, the Tony Award-winning musical, Matilda the Musical. It won, I believe it was 5 Tony Awards a few years ago for Best Book of a Musical. Yeah, 5 Tony Awards. And we've got some of the actresses from the production, which is currently at Drury Lane here in Chicago. And they include Eben K. Logan, who plays Miss Honey in the show. Welcome. Very nice to have you here. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much. Hi.
And also the two young actresses who play Matilda. They are Natalie Gala. Good morning, Natalie.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. That's so sweet sounding. And also Audrey Edwards. Good morning to you.
You too.
Thank you for coming in this morning. So, Evan, talk to me a little about what Matilda the Musical is.
Matilda is a musical based on the Roald Dahl book, also Matilda. It's very close to the book and very close to the film. It's a story of this little 5-year-old girl who can do things that typical 5-year-old girls cannot do. She can read. She can do lots of complicated sums of math and things like that in her head. She can also move things with her mind. She's going to this school with Miss Trunchbull, who is this big evil bully, who is the headmistress of the school and is torturing all of the children, and meets Miss Honey, who I play, who is a teacher and nurtures everything that she finds in Matilda, and it's their story of coming together and finding love with each other.
It's got to be so empowering, I would think, especially for young girls to come and see this show.
Oh, absolutely.
And to get this message that you're putting across that you can be anything, you can do anything.
Absolutely. I mean, the power of the mind is unbelievable, and the fact that Roald Dahl put such emphasis on books and reading and learning and instilling young girls and young children with that knowledge, I don't think should be overlooked at all.
Yeah. So, ladies, what's it like for you to play Matilda? You alternate days, right?
Yes.
Yeah, is that how it works? So nobody is overworking anybody. What's it like for you, Natalie, to play this role?
Well, I think Matilda is such a strong character, and she just...
knows what she can do, and she has these parents who are just so mean to her, and she doesn't like get into it. She knows that she has to deal with her life, and she does, and she does it really good.
Yeah, how about for you, Audrey? What's it like for you to play Matilda?
I think it's really fun to play Matilda because she's so strong, and she knows that, like, she's smaller than everyone else. She's not an adult, like, she's not in charge, but still she finds ways to make her voice heard, and so I think it's really fun to be the one who's, like, getting at somebody and...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of leading the way. Mm-hmm. You must talk to audience members who come to see the show, I'll bet, after the show. What are the kinds of things that audience members and maybe other young ladies such as yourself, what are they telling you about the show?
Well, when they usually ask for my autograph and...
I was going to do that too, by the way. Yeah.
And then...
I was a little shy to ask, but now that you brought it up, I'm going to do that too.
And like... they say, like, oh, you did so good. And they feel like some people, there was this little girl who came up to me and said, you were so good. And I want to be like you someday. And she's like, I love the Matilda the character because she's so strong. And I feel like I could be like that, too. And I told her she definitely could.
Wow, look at that. How about for you, Audrey? Do you get similar things?
I had this one lady come up to me after the show. And she said... Like, I know this is kind of a kid's show, like, I know it's just a fun musical, but I love the message of the show. I think it speaks to everyone. Keep doing this.
Can I get your autograph, too, after?
Yes.
When we're done? Okay. Just want to make sure. And, of course, Evan, I'm going to want to get your autograph as well.
Oh, goodness.
When we're done with this. It's very much more than a kid's show, though, isn't it, Evan?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's about a lot of bullying, too, and a lot of setting wrong things right, I think, is a lot of the prevailing message about this, is if you see something wrong, if you see something that's not right, somebody who's being mistreated or overlooked or overshadowed or just not being treated well, then you got to step up and do something about it.
Right, yeah. Good messages for anybody. I mean, they're really maybe better messages these days for some adults to
absolutely
stop bullying each other.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, they'll be performing a couple of songs from the show for you. It's 10:47 right now. Matilda the Musical is at the Drury Lane out on Oak Brook Terrace, and we'll be back with much more of it coming up in a few minutes. WGN. Right now we're talking with some of the stars of Matilda the Musical. That's at the Drury Lane in Oak Brook Terrace through June the 23rd. Eben K. Logan plays Miss Honey in the show, and Audrey Edwards and Natalie Gala are alternating performances in the role of Matilda. And can I ask you, young ladies, your age?
Yes, I'm 11 years old.
You're 11.
I'm also 11.
You're both 11 years old. And so what kind of theater experience do you have? So I know you're both very, very talented, but have you been in other shows and done other things as well?
This is actually my first professional show. Wow. I've done other, like, at my dance studio. I've done other shows, like, I was the genie in Aladdin, and...
So you must be very excited to see this movie then, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Mm-hmm. And so this is one of my first actual shows that I've done.
That's pretty cool. How about for you, Audrey?
I've done a few other professional shows. I've also done some community theater shows and dance.
Yeah, so this is a big deal for both of you to be in a big professional show like this, right? Mm-hmm. And you're both from the Chicago area, so it's got to be super fun.
Yes.
Right? To be in a big show like this, and so your friends and your family members can all come and see you and cheer you on, I'll bet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Evan, how about for you? You're telling me that you were from Maryland originally.
Yes, I'm from Maryland. I just moved here over a year ago, last January, and I've been working here ever since, and now I'm part of the Chicago community.
Yeah.
And really loving it.
Enjoying the Chicago theatrical community here?
Oh, absolutely. I was just at Paramount for the producers, and before that I was doing Sweet Charity at the Marriott, and so I'm starting to really find my footing here, which is really nice.
Hitting all the spots for all the good shows.
Absolutely.
How much fun is it to work at the Paramount, I would say?
Oh, my gosh. So much fun.
Beautiful theater.
It's huge.
And it just seems like the perfect creative environment for performers.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And Jim Cordy, the resident director there, Amber Mack also, they're just really, really great and visionary people and directors.
I would say the same for the Drury Lane Oak Brook as well. I mean, absolutely. They one great show after another.
Yeah.
And how big is this show?
It's pretty big. Yeah. I think we kind of underestimated it a little bit when we got into tech, just because there's just a lot of magic in the production. Matilda does a lot of magic, and then there's a lot of costumes, and the production's value is just so big. The set is huge, and there's a lot of dancing and all this stuff. So it's a big show. It's a really big show.
Yeah, it's, as I said, playing through June the 23rd, one of the songs in the show. Excuse me, it's called My House that Eben performs. And do we need to know anything about this song before you sing it for us?
No, I think Miss Honey is just a character who finds her little corner of the world where, you know, she can feel safe and not have to worry about being bullied by Miss Trunchbull or, you know, trying to be anybody she's not. And this song is just about her safe space.
Okay, this is My House from Matilda the Musical.
This roof keeps me dry when the rain falls. This door helps to keep the cold at bay. On this floor I can stand on my own two feet. On this chair I can write my lessons. Through this window I can watch the seasons change. This table, as you can see, well, it's perfect for tea. It isn't much, but it is enough for me. For this is my house. This is my house. It isn't much, but it is enough for me. This is my house. This is my house. It isn't much, but it is enough. And when it's cold and bleak, I feel no fear. Even in the fiercest storms, I am warmed by this small but stubborn. Even when outside it's freezing, I don't pay much heed. I know that everything I need is in here. It isn't much, but it is enough for me. It isn't much, but it is enough for me.
That is beautiful.
Thank you.
Turn the reverb off, sir. So, really, really, really nice. Beautiful
Thank
job.
You.
Thank you very much. It's Eben K. Logan, Miss Honey from Matilda the Musical, and now the Matildas. Themselves, you guys are going to split this up, I hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you normally alternate performances, you would normally sing the whole song.
Yes.
But today you're going to split it up and share. What's the song called?
It's called Naughty, and it's about Matilda finding a way of revenge on her dad. And she just gets the light bulb in her mind that sometimes you have to be a little bit naughty. So she is.
Okay. Are you all set, Audrey?
Mm-hmm.
All ready to go? We are too. The song is Naughty, Matilda the Musical from the Drury Lane Oak Brook.
Look Romeo and Juliet. 'Twas written in the stars before they even met. That love and fate and a touch of stupidity would rob them of the hope of living happily. The endings are often a little bit gory. I wonder why they didn't just change their story. We're told we have to do what we are told, but surely sometimes you have to be a little bit naughty. Just because you find the slice not fair, it does.
총치난 ferret, nothing will change. Even if you're little, you can see what ought you. Mustn't that little thing like little stop you? If you sit around and let them get on top of you, might as well be saying you think that it's okay, and that's not right. And if it's not right, you have to put it right. In the slip of a bolt, there's a tiny revolt, the seat of a war and the creak of a floorboard. A storm can begin with a flap of a wing. The tiniest might packs the mightiest sting. Every day starts with the tick of a clock or escapes. Start with the click of a lock. If you're stuck in your story and want to get out, you don't have to cry, you don't have to shout. Cause if you're little, you can do what ought you. Mustn't that little thing like little stop you? If you sit around and let them get on top of you, won't change a thing. Just because you find that life's not fair, it doesn't mean that you just have to grin and bear it. If you always take it on the chin and wear it, you might as well be saying you think that it's okay, and that's not right.
That's fantastic, you guys.
Thank you.
Wow, thank you. You guys should do a duet every night like that. That was so great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You sound fantastic. The show is Matilda the Musical, and it's playing until June 23rd at the Drury Lane, Oak Brook. You can get more info at drurylanetheater.com or 630-530-0111 or through Ticketmaster 800-745-3000. Audrey Edwards, Natalie Gala, the Matildas, soon to be the Matilda sisters, singing together everywhere. Appreciate you guys coming in. And Evan K. Logan, we've got many texts already saying what a beautiful voice you have, and I couldn't agree more.
You
sounded so great today. Thank you. Evan K. Logan, Miss Honey from the show. We'll take a quick break and update news next. WGN. What station? What is that? What do you call it?
720 WGN.
If you were going to say that one more time, for example, what would that be?
I would say the world's greatest newspaper, 720 WGN.
Anybody notice that we're killing for time there?
And they've gotten used to it. That's good. Listeners,
yeah,
to our show.
Killing would be the key word in that phrase, by the way. Remember those? Remember that Woody Woodpecker? Was it Woody Woodpecker? Was it on television?
Sure it was.
Because I seem to remember seeing Woody Woodpecker cartoons before movies also.
Oh, yeah.
Before,
yeah,
like
Channel
movies
9
at the,
ran them.
No, I mean at the theaters.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I seem to remember, you know, when they used
Woody
to show
Woodpecker
cartoons.
Woody Woodpecker cartoons along with Looney Tunes and those? Yes, they did. They showed them there.
I used to love me some Woody Woodpecker. He was nuts.
He was.
Woody Woodpecker was nuts.
The Bugs Bunny of the fowl. A bird
of the right. I know what you mean.
Species
that we brought this up right before the news because there was a story in the news that you could go someplace to see red-headed woodpeckers.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yes, Ryan did the story on Community Quarters.
Yeah, Ryan did the story.
7,000 acres at the Kankakee Sands Nature Conservancy.
Yeah, and I guess I'd never seen a real woodpecker. Before, and I didn't know that.
Have you ever heard them in real life?
I guess so.
Yeah. You have to go way out in the woods and
where you hear them making that pecking sound.
Yeah, and they're moving right along, you know. I was out with a friend in the woods in Michigan once, and he says, stop. He said, you hear that? That's a woodpecker going.
You know, we've been wanting to do an ornithology segment on the show.
That's why I brought up the web-crested lake loons.
We just feel like there's not enough bird-watching segments on Chicago radio.
And on radio. Oh, look.
On radio in general.
Oh, look.
Yeah, really. Try to find any bird-watching segment on a radio
station.
Yeah, it doesn't happen until this morning.
Not to mention the plains pocket gophers, the glass lizards, and bison.
Because People, since we mentioned this, this is my scientific woodpecker music. This is going to be our theme song for the for our bird watching, new bird watching report.
That sounds more like the meditation portion of the program.
What kind of music do you put, really, for bird watching? This kind of sounds like it's, you know, like in flight, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A little bit. Play along with me. So people,
all right.
People have been sending me all kinds of information during the newscast about the red-headed woodpecker. A small or medium-sized woodpecker, Shawnee, from North America. Their breeding habitat is open country across southern Canada and the east-central portion of the United States. The red-bellied woodpecker, has its most prominent red part of plumage on the head, but looks the same in as many other species. The red-headed woodpecker is one of many species originally described in the 18th century work Systema Nature.
Now, this is why, again, this is a Peabody-winning program.
Adults are strikingly tricolored, with a black back and tail and a red head and neck. Their underparts are mainly white.
No. Now you're getting personal.
I don't know who looked at their underparts to determine that, but somebody did. None of my business. The wings are black with white secondary remigage. Do you know what that is, remigage?
I have no idea.
Yeah, neither do I. There's just big words here. The females are identical in plumage, and juveniles have similar markings. Have we learned enough about the woodpeckers?
We have learned all kinds of things.
Have we learned enough about their behavior? Woodpeckers fly to catch insects in the air or on the ground. They forage on trees and gather and store nuts.
What, you saying I'm nuts?
Okay. Sure. Well, I think I may be understanding better now why there's no bird watching segments on there.
I think so, yeah.
I have found this fascinating myself.
Well, you know, a little diversion talking about red-headed woodpeckers and web-crested lake loons.
708 area code. I'm enjoying your bird watching segment. Thank you. Thank you for the validation.
Now, get out your binoculars.
Thank you for
please.
The validation on that. Thank you. 708 area code. Let's see. Where I lost this now. 708 area code. There are woodpeckers in river forest.
They're all over the place.
Let's go. Let's go after the show.
See if they're red-headed with white undersides.
I am not going to be looking at anyone's underside after the show. Here's the 214 area code. 214, wait, isn't that Texas?
I don't know.
That's
where
Dallas,
it is.
Texas. It's probably a cell phone.
Hello.
Hello, Dallas. says, I can send you a few Chicago birdwatching authorities. There is a legion of birdwatchers in Chicago.
Oh, there really are. That's true.
Well, we should feature them more often.
We should have them on.
On our new birdwatching segment.
We need to get the garb now, the birdwatching.
The hat.
The hat and the vests
right.
that you wear.
Right, right, right. here is someone saying, in my neighborhood in Bucktown, you can hear the woodpeckers, and they do not sound like Woody Woodpecker. But it says it sounds like this. Wait, they sent an audio file. Wait. Oh, this is an acorn woodpecker. This is fascinating, isn't it?
That's good bird watching music, that's too.
That's some good bird watching music right there. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what any of you say. Somebody likes our bird watching segment. Somebody, all you got to do is have one person to validate me.
And you had a number of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can...
Yeah.
The, red-headed woodpeckers.
No, the reaction is good on that.
It certainly is.
Very nice reaction on the woodpecker segment.
No one talked about the web-crested lake loons yet, though.
Well, Shawnee, we've got bird-watching segments in the future to cover all those.
We will do that then.
Each week we'll cover a different species here on the program.
How about pigeons?
And people say radio is a vast wasteland.
Can we talk about pigeons?
I got plenty to say about pigeons. I got plenty to say about
so
pigeons.
Do I. Yes.
A quick break. We're going to go from bird watching to Elton John. And I'm going to tell you a little about his movie Rocket Man that'll open next weekend. That's where I was last week in London at the London premiere of the motion picture. We talked with many of the stars of the movie on the red carpet. We'll share some of those and some clips and music from the movie itself. All coming up next, WGN.
Today is the day we...
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. The touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man.
Last week, I was in London, England. For the UK premiere of the Elton John biopic, Rocket Man. Thank you to Elton Jim Toronto for filling in last week. I know that he saw the movie and loved it, naturally. He's an Elton John super fan. I like Elton John very much, not super fan status, but I also enjoyed the movie very much. Everyone has been asking me all week long, did you like it better than Bohemian Rhapsody? And it's not, I don't think it's a really fair comparison. The storytelling is different in both of these movies. One is a chronology of somebody's life, Bohemian Rhapsody. The Elton John movie kind of bounces around a little bit, and they use the music in this movie sort of the way they would a stage musical. So two different kinds of presentations. I enjoyed both of them very much. I think this Elton John movie, you know, if you grew up with his music, and pretty much who hasn't, I think you're going to enjoy it very much. And I learned a lot about Elton John, things that I didn't know, stories I didn't realize. So it's going to open next week, and I'll tell you much more about it between now and then. But I did want to share some of the interviews that we did on the red carpet for the UK premiere. They include Elton, who came by in a golf cart because he had apparently had sprained his ankle. So he didn't, you know, technically walk the red carpet. But he did have a few words at the end of the carpet from his blinged-out golf cart. But we also talked with our pal, Taron Egerton, who is brilliant, playing Elton John in this movie, talking a little about the newfound stardom that he will be enjoying.
Hello again. Hi, how are you?
Nice. How do you feel when you step out here and people are chanting your name? I mean, this has elevated you personally.
It's really stressful, actually. I find it quite stressful. I mean, it's wonderful, but it's a lot. Yeah.
Is it fun? Is it overwhelming?
It's overwhelming, I would say. Yeah. Of course, there's an element of fun to it. Yeah, but I'm keen to relax a bit now, actually. Yeah.
So you're up with Elton on the stage before.
Yeah.
What's it like when you two get together now? What do you talk about? What's it like, the reunion?
It's you know, it's lovely. I mean, he's always been incredibly kind to me and incredibly good to me, and I've been lucky enough to be allowed into his life and form a great relationship with him, and so it fills my heart with joy, you know. And I really hope it continues after this film is done.
I hope you get some rest soon.
Thank you. I'm sorry. My brain is fried. It really is.
I completely understand. Yeah.
Taking a long time, but I think it's wonderful. Cannes was a big thing for us. Having it shown there, get the reception that it did and the reviews that we have, we can now come here in London and really enjoy it. And the momentum is fantastic. Everything has kind of fallen into place so beautifully, which is everyone's worked so hard on that. And I'm very grateful for it. So tonight is all about enjoyment.
I change favorite songs from every 5 minutes.
I think the key song in the movie at the beginning of the movie is your song and I Want Love. I Want Love just threw me. I didn't know it was going to be in the movie that soon. But your song, the sequence when we write that song, is magical.
I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in the words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. The moss, well, a few of the verses, well, they've got me quite cross. But the sun's been quite kind while I wrote this song. It's for people like you that keep it turned on.
One of the greatest songs of all time, Elton John's Your Song, that he wrote with his lifelong songwriting buddy, Bernie Taupin, who also was walking on the red carpet. He's always sort of stayed in the background and let Elton John take all of the praise and get all of the attention. But really, this songwriting partnership of Elton John and Bernie Taupin is legendary and has produced some of the greatest songs of all time. And we were happy that we're able to spend just a few minutes with the legendary Bernie Taupin.
What was the point at which you realized that you and Elton had something big?
I think, probably when we wrote, when a guy called Steve Brown told us, don't write crap. Write songs you want to write. Don't write songs, you know, there's a whole piece in the movie where the guy playing Dick James sort of says, you know, I want you to write sort of pop songs for so-and-so, and we literally didn't want to do that. We just wanted to write songs that we wanted to write, but we didn't know how to do it at the time, I don't think. And we were encouraged by certain individuals, and once we were, it became apparent that we actually might have had something. I think when we were writing crap, you know, that we didn't know was crap, that was when I was going, well, I'll try and do this for a couple of years and see how it goes.
Yeah. Is there one song that best describes how you feel, one of your songs?
Do you mean early songs?
Any of them.
Well, your favorite songs change day by day. I mean, in the movie, one of my favorite songs I've ever written is I Want Love. I love Sacrifice, but that's not in the movie. The most poignant song in the movie is when Jamie sings Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. I think that was a pretty moving moment for me.
When are you gonna come down? When are you going to land? I should have stayed on the farm. I should have listened to my old man. Maybe you'll get a replacement. There's plenty like me to be found. Mongrels who ain't got a penny, sniffing for tidbits like you on the ground. So goodbye, Yellow Brick Road, where the dogs of society howl. You can't plant me in your penthouse. I'm going back to my plow, back to the howling wind out in the woods, hunting the horny black toad. Oh, I finally decided my future lies beyond the yellow brick road. So what do you think he'll do then? But that'll shoot down your plane. It'll take you a couple of vodka and tonics to set you on your feet again. And now they can't hold you forever.
I'm not for you. I'm not a present for your friends to open. This boy's too young to be saying love.
Taryn Edgerton as Elton John. Jamie Bell plays Bernie Taupin in the movie. And their version of Goodbye Yellow Brick Road from the film. To give you a little preview of what's to come, Rocketman will open next Friday. And we'll tell you all about it. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to give it a good review. I really liked it. I thought it was very celebratory, very, very nostalgic. If you grew up with the music of Elton John, as most of us did, you'll know every single song. There are a couple of original songs that are in the movie. They always toss those in for Academy Award. You know, songs that are not original to a movie can't be considered for Academy Award nominations, so they always put a couple of original ones in there. But it's mostly the Elton John library, and the story and the friendship and the partnership between Elton and Bernie is a big part of this movie. His relationship with his parents, a very tumultuous relationship with his parents, is a big part of this movie. Him struggling with and dealing with his own sexual identity is part of this. I thought it was a very interesting and at times very emotional. But you know, you're going to go to a movie and sing along with every single song. Don't expect Bohemian Rhapsody. It's presented in a completely different way. It's like going to see a stage musical, like you would go see, Mamma Mia or Jersey Boys or, you know, something like that. A little bit different style with that. Anyway, we'll tell you much more about it. Who else was on the red carpet? Well, we talked with Andy Serkis, who you know from the Planet of the Apes movies. We love talking with Andy at any time. He's got a new movie out, and he was there and is a good friend with the director and wanted to support the movie. But also, walking down the red carpet, we were surprised to see Boy George, of all people. And we had a nice little chat with Boy.
Well, I'm here to... I want to see the movie. I've been waiting for this movie. You know, I'm excited about what it's going to be, what the costumes are going to be, what songs they're going to use, you know, what stories. Because there's so many stories, you know.
So you'll be the only person here who thinks everything is downplayed, not flamboyant enough.
Not necessarily. We'll see. I mean, I've always thought that people who were famous in the 70s are kind of otherworldly.
Yeah.
You know, the Sir Elton Johns, the Bowies, Mark Bolan, those kind of characters, Roxy Music, they were always kind of a little bit nebulous to me, like just a bit, you know.
Do you feel like Elton sort of paved the way for a Boy George to...
Elton's everything.
Yeah.
Elton starts with an E.
Come a chameleon.
Yeah, little Boy George nostalgia there. Looking healthy and seems to be doing well. He's got his own music projects out right now. Fun to talk with him. Take a quick break. Come back. Talk with more. We've got an all-grilling food show coming up with our friends from the Weber Grills. Also give away a Weber Grill to some lucky listener this morning. It's all coming up in just a few minutes. WGN. And hope you have a wonderful, fun, and safe holiday weekend amidst the burgers and the time off and whatever else you may be doing. Enjoying the holiday weekend, we hope you'll take a few minutes to remember the true meaning of Memorial Day. It's about remembering those who made the ultimate sacrifice, those who died in service of our country to protect what we have in America, and why so many people are so passionate still to protect what we have in America. But Memorial Day is the day that we set aside to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. I had mentioned earlier that I was very, very moved reading some of the stories. Lots of you have been posting on social media about family members, friends, mostly family members, fathers, grandfathers, uncles, who were in the Korean War, World War II, some World War I, even going back that far, the Gulf conflicts, where the ultimate sacrifice was made. And they are very, very moving stories to which we take our hats off and pay reverence, as we do really to all veterans and all of those who serve our country. For several years now, we have been playing back this reading that was sent to me many years ago called What is a Veteran? What is a veteran? Some veterans bear visible signs of their service. A missing limb, a jagged scar, a certain look in the eye. Others may carry the evidence inside of them, a pin holding a bone together, a piece of shrapnel in the leg, or perhaps another sort of inner steel, the soul's ally forged in the refinery of adversity. Except in parades, however, the men and women who have kept America safe wear no badge or emblem. You can't tell a vet just by looking. So what is a veteran? They're the cop on the beat who spent 6 months in Saudi Arabia sweating 2 gallons a day to make sure that the armored personnel carriers didn't run out of fuel. They're the barroom loudmouth, dumber than 5 wooden planks, whose overgrown frat boy behavior has outweighed 100 times on the cosmic scales by 4 hours of exquisite bravery near the 38th parallel. He or she is the nurse who fought against futility and went to sleep sobbing every night for 2 solid years in Da Nang. They're a POW who went away one person and came back another, or didn't come back at all. They're the Paris drill instructor who has never seen battle, but has saved countless lives by turning slouchy, no-account rednecks and gang members into Marines, teaching them to watch each other's backs. They're the parade-riding legionnaires who pin on ribbons and medals with a prosthetic hand. They're the career quartermaster who watches the ribbons and medals pass him by. They're one of 3 anonymous heroes in the Tomb of the Unknowns, whose presence at Arlington National Cemetery must forever preserve the memory of all the anonymous heroes whose valor dies unrecognized with them on the battlefield or in the ocean's sunless depth. He's the old guy bagging groceries at the supermarket, palsied now and aggravatingly slow, who helped to liberate a Nazi death camp, who wishes all day long that his wife were still alive to hold him when the nightmares come. They are ordinary yet extraordinary human beings, people who offered some of life's most vital years in the service of their country, who sacrificed ambitions so others would not have to sacrifice theirs. They are soldiers and saviors and swords against the darkness, and are nothing more than the finest, greatest testimony on behalf of the finest, greatest nation ever known. So remember, each time you see someone who has served our country, just lean over and say, thank you. That's all most people need to hear, and in most cases, it'll mean more than any medals that they could have been awarded or were awarded. 2 little words that mean a lot. Thank you.
Hey, good looking. Well, what you got cooking? How's about cooking something over me?
On the air, Chicago Radio's award-winning All Things Edible program, heard every Sunday at this time. And today we've got White Sox Twins baseball coming up in a few minutes. A little abbreviated, kind of a bite-sized version of our Food Time show today, with Jamie Previance, who is Master Grill Master, cookbook author with Weber Grills. Jamie, it must be that season again. Welcome back, my friend.
Hooray! I love this time of year. Thank you, Dean. Good to be with you.
I got the grill out this week. I did some delicious pork tenderloin out on the grill. There is just nothing like it. I wish I could grill 365 days a year. I know some people do. I'm too much of a wimp when it gets to be 10 below zero.
I think that's the main reason why I live actually out in California.
Yeah.
It's a major perk that I grill just about 365 days a year.
Yeah, well, we're going to try to answer as many questions as we possibly can before 12:30. We're going to also give away a grill today. We've got Weber folks are nice enough to give us one of your new Color Master Touch grills. And we'll give you the word on when to call in to win that. But also, we wanted to tell you about the new cookbook that Jamie has put out for Weber called Weber's Ultimate Grilling, a step-by-step guide to barbecue genius. What is included in this one, Jamie?
So much. We probably don't have time to cover it all. But the main focus of this book is actually on grilling techniques. So there are obviously a bunch of recipes in the book, more than 125. But in order to qualify to be in the book, the recipe had to provide and demonstrate a really worthy technique, something that would elevate the results of that recipe, but also apply perhaps to other recipes as well.
What would be a good example of that?
Book.
What would be an example of that?
Well, I'm doing today, for instance, a steak, a porterhouse steak with what's called a cutting board sauce. Are you familiar with this idea?
I'm not,
Which is a technique. It's so fun and cool and really delicious in the end. So you think of making a sauce in a skillet or a saucepan. In this case, you actually make it on a cutting board.
Huh.
Well, not really a sauce, but it flavors the steak magnificently. What I do is I chop up shallots and herbs like basil, rosemary, with some capers, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of vinegar. So it's sort of a wet paste that you spread out on the board. When the steak is fully cooked, it comes off the grill and onto the board. You turn the steak over a couple times and just coat the surface. Oh, and there's some lemon zest in there. That's actually what is the most delicious,
wow.
I think.
Oh, that sounds good.
So it makes the steak really still the star of the whole thing, but accents it in a way that is just delicious. So that is a technique of sorts that you could apply to a steak. You could use it for chicken breasts or pork chops or whatever else you like. So that's one example.
And doing it on the cutting board, I suppose, so you don't burn up some of those wonderful flavors that you're kind of bathing your cooked meat in.
Yeah, no chance of burning and less dishes. You don't have to clean a pot.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
right.
Nothing wrong with that. A question that's come in on our text line, 312-981-7200. If you want to call in or text in, 312-981-7200. It says, I bought ground sirloin to make burgers this weekend. I'm told ground sirloin is too dry for the grill. Is that true? And do you have any suggestions if it is? It's probably not ideal, right, ground sirloin, because you want a little bit of fat in there to keep it moist. But it's not the end of the world if you have ground sirloin to make burgers.
No, not necessarily. It depends on the percentage of fat in there. And you can certainly get sirloin with a good 20% fat. It really depends upon the butcher and the particular animal that he's working with. If it happens to be particularly lean, I suppose you could buy some beef fat. You know what I often do is just buy pork sausage.
Because
that is almost always fatty.
Right.
And it's flavorful. It's got some seasonings in it. And it just gives you that buffer of fattiness, juiciness, and a little extra flavor. So
you know what
buy a little sausage meat.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know what else I've done when I've had something like that? I finely dice up some onions and green peppers. I mean, like really small. And I add that to the mixture, and it adds quite a bit of moisture to the meat itself.
Right, right. Any vegetable like that is mostly moisture. There's a lot of water in there. And if you want something more flavorful than water, think about things like Worcestershire sauce, maybe a little soy sauce, maybe a little bit of aged balsamic, even butter. You can put a cube of cold butter in there.
Yeah.
But then the real key to all of this is just don't overcook the burger. That's what's going to make it dry. So be careful about that. So now we're talking about techniques again,
right.
You know, really understanding how long it takes, you know, how often you flip it. And those are really what are going to make the biggest difference in the flavor of the burger.
Yeah, let's talk about some of these basics then, for a burger or a cheeseburger. What is a proper technique?
This is relatively simple with burgers. It's basically hot grill, a burger patty that is probably 3/4 inch thick, and then putting it on the grill and leaving it alone for at least 3 minutes. Because to me, one of the big draws of a burger is that nice brown crust on the outside.
Sure.
And if you try to turn the burger too early, you won't develop enough of a crust. You'll also probably tear the burger, and then it might begin to fall apart, and all sorts of bad things follow from that. So just leaving it alone on the first side for 3 or 4 minutes, you should really only have to turn it once. And then, you know, getting off the grill before it's overcooked. And there's no shame here in using a thermometer. An instant read thermometer is fine to use, or just follow the recipe. That's why I write the books. I test these things multiple times.
Yeah.
And a burger should really take about 8 minutes, 3/4 inch at about 400 degrees. You're golden every single time that way.
What are
other techniques.
If you're using a meat thermometer, what should the temperature be, 160?
Well, that would be perfectly safe. And so the USDA would say yes. Most chefs would say baloney. You know, that's way too cooked. So, do what you like. It really depends upon how trusting you are about your source of meat. If you can go to a butcher and have him or her grind it for you, then you can cook it just like a steak. But if it's been in a package for a number of days and maybe it's starting to turn brown, then yeah, I'd probably cook it all the way through just to be careful.
Okay, all right. Some people say you do a thumbprint in a burger, and that helps to determine its doneness, but also so it doesn't get sort of that hump in it. Do you go by that?
Right. Yeah, I occasionally do that, particularly if it's lean meat that tends to shrink up and create what I sometimes call the meatball effect. And that's no good, because when you bite into a burger, you want to bite into meat and bun. And if you've got a meatball, you end up biting into bun primarily for the first. So anyway, the little divot, either with the thumb or the back of a spoon perhaps, you know, maybe half an inch deep, little well there in the center of each patty will compensate for that effect. So the burger will still shrink from the outside and it'll puff up a little bit, but now it just comes up to perfectly level. And so that's nice because it gives you a good looking burger, easy to pile your toppings on, and no meatballs.
630 area code, suggestions for cooking hot dogs and veggie dogs on the grill. I guess that gets to technique also, because sometimes you put those on there and they curl up, and you can't really get them to a proper appearance, at least anyway.
Sure. You know, often with hot dogs, whether they're beef dogs or veggie dogs, I actually cut slashes in them. That will prevent curling. And it actually creates a little bit more surface area. So particularly if you're working over charcoal, that smokiness that's inside the grill just has a better chance of seeping inside the hot dog. And I think that improves the flavor. And it kind of improves the look as well. It just has it shows a little extra care, let's put it that way, that you've gone to that extent to carve your hot dog or butcher it a little bit before serving it.
Yeah, they're just kind of slashes from one end to the other. And I think it's attractive that way. Plus, it gives you a little more of the crispy edges, which are always delightful.
That's the gold right there, those crispy edges. Yeah. I agree.
Somebody's asking, what's your opinion on these nonstick grill mats that seem so popular right now?
I'm not a big fan, I got to be honest. I understand the rationale. I mean, everybody wants things to come off easily and cleanly. Having just written a book about techniques that show you how to get things cleanly off the grill, you know, you're not going to be surprised that I'm going to suggest that instead. The problem with the mat is that it really is preventing the flavor of the grill to get into the food. right? All that wonderful charcoal flavor, or even the sear that you're getting on the bars of a gas grill, you've now put a barrier in between those. So right. I think you're robbing yourself of good flavor and pride. I'm going to go out and say, you know, you got to, if you're going to grill, you got to grill. Yeah. So get rid of the mat.
What's the way to make things nonstick without a nonstick grill on the mat?
Well, it's to start with a really clean grate. So nothing, if it's got like teriyaki chicken from last Tuesday on there, you know, stuff's going to stick to that. So get rid of that initially. Then make sure that the food is well oiled before it goes on there.
Food oiled, not the grill, because some people like to put a layer of oil on the grill. I don't do that because it just seems like it all burns off before I can even get to it.
You're right. It does burn off, and it creates some kind of nasty aroma sometimes because the oil has a smoking point where it turns sort of bitter.
Yeah.
And particularly if it's a nice olive oil or something, you lose all the nuance of the oil, and you get a lot of smoke, and you waste a lot of oil. You might get flare-ups. So many reasons why you want to oil the food itself. And you put that down on a hot, clean grate. And again, it comes back to this idea of having a little patience for that crust to develop. Just as a hamburger will always stick initially, so will a chicken breast, you know, so will a salmon fillet, so will, you know, a round of eggplant. So you've got to wait until that charring develops on one side, and that actually creates a natural release, nonstick. That's how you do it.
And the here's the other thing about the grill mat or some of these pans that people buy to cook things on the grill, or as I like to call them, one more thing that I don't really want to have to clean later on. Mostly you don't need them. Mostly you don't need that stuff.
Yeah, you can do almost anything in the supermarket right down on the bars. The one time that I do use the pans, there's a grill pan with holes in it that I like for really small things that might otherwise fall through the grate.
Yeah.
So a bunch of little cherry tomatoes or some chopped up mushrooms, maybe tiny shrimp. Those things you can spread out on a hot pan, but hopefully one that has some holes in it so heat and smoke can get in there and give it that outdoor flavor.
I buy these aluminum, it's an aluminum screen, so it's got holes in it. It works just like that pan that you're talking about. When you're done, it's less than a dollar to buy one of these screens. You toss it, it's done, and you're not spending a half an hour scrubbing in between all the little open particles on these things. Let me take a quick break. We'll come right back with Jamie Previance from Weber in his new cookbook, Weber's Ultimate Grilling, a step-by-step guide to barbecue genius. We're also going to give away a special Weber grill that they have made available for our Food Time listeners, a new Color Master Touch grill. Jamie, we're going to give that to caller 7 right now on our phone line, 312-981-7200. Caller 7 wins it at 312-981-7200 WGN.